Well, thank you for worshiping with us today as we have our special Christmas service. And I love the Christmas service because I get to see all of you who came back into town and spending Christmas with your family and with us. And it's good to see everybody. I want to share with you the four stages of life. You know, the first stage of life, you believe in Santa Claus. I mean, you have to believe, otherwise you don't get gifts, right? You got to go sit. My daughters have all the grandkids sitting on Santa's lap, and so you believe in Santa Claus. The second stage is this. You don't believe in Santa Claus. Usually that happens when you get clothes instead of toys for Christmas. You realize, what? No toys. So you stop believing. But then the next stage is this. You believe you are Santa Claus. You know, you have children and that vicious cycle goes over because you want to see them sitting on Santa Claus' lap. Kids don't want to go. And you say, you got to believe in Santa Claus and, you know, all this stuff. And so you make them believe. Then the fourth stage is this. You look like Santa Claus. You know, you're old and overweight. That's where we're at today. You know, when Christmas comes around, it's all about Santa Claus. A man ordered a life-size Santa Claus inflatable for his house, and this is what he got instead. He got a giant Santa Claus. You know, what's sad about Christmas is it's all about Santa Claus. We think about Santa Claus, and we rarely talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Have people forgotten the reason for the season? Have people forgotten that Jesus is the greatest gift of all? After all, the angels proclaimed in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Christmas begins with Jesus, with Christ. Christmas began when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was born into the world. He is Christ the Lord. And so if you want to take out your sermon outline, the first point on this outline is this. There is no Christmas without Christ. There is no Christmas without Jesus Christ. In fact, when Jesus Christ entered the world, He changed everything. Our thinking, our culture, our beliefs, our world today would look very different if Jesus Christ had never been born in that stable. In fact, here are a few things I took from a book called How Christianity Changed the World. Here are a few things that we would not have today if Jesus was not born. We would not have hospitals and health care. Today we think that, oh, it's a right. You know, it's a right. But no, back in the time before Christ, the only one that had a doctor was rich people. You know, not everybody. There would be no education for everybody. Once again, only the rich could afford it. There would not be music and literature like we see today because Jesus inspired the hearts. Christ inspired millions and millions of songs and books to be written. But there would be no abolishment of slavery. It was Christians who took the fight against slavery. They fought to end this evil practice. There would be no charity and compassion. We think that the Red Cross and Salvation Army popped up by themselves. No, it is the love and compassion of Christ that created these things. There would be no women's rights like we see it today. It is Christianity and Christ who gave dignity and rights to women. There would be no labor and economic freedom. There would be no science and arts like we see today. Christianity, Jesus Christ, changed the world. See, we don't realize this. We don't realize that these things are because of Christ and the church. And the reason why is because liberal thinking has hijacked many of these institutions, and they are systematically removing Christ from those institutions, Christ and Christian influences. Just look at this next slide. Harvard University used to have this motto on the left side, Christus Veritas Excelsius, which means truth for Christ and the church. Harvard originally was to train men and women to teach and preach the gospel, but they changed their logo to the one on the right, which is Veritas. It only means truth. So it began back in the 1600s because of Christ and the church. But we still see signs. If you go to Harvard today, you'll see this building. This is Emerson Hall of Harvard. And ingrained is the Bible verse. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And so now we think of Harvard as being a liberal atheist institution. It began because of Christians. I point this out because our world today is fast becoming a world without Christ. It's becoming like that world that existed when Christ was born into the world. It was a world without Christ. And there's three things we see in a world without Christ. First, people live in spiritual darkness. When Jesus was born, the people of Israel had not heard the voice of God for over 400 years. The last Old Testament prophet was Malachi, and the people lived in spiritual darkness. Today, too many people are living in spiritual darkness. Have you ever tried to, walk around in the dark? As I get older, I have to get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. It's one consequence of getting old, right? All of you who are getting old. And you can't, you don't want to turn on the light. You got to stumble your way. You step on Legos and Barbie heads and all that stuff. Because you can't see, so you stumble around. When you live in spiritual darkness, you cannot hear God. You cannot see God. You cannot understand or know what God's plan for your life is. So we stumble into sin. When we are not walking with Christ, we'll stumble into sin. But Jesus Christ came to this world to bring the light of God into the world. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." When Jesus comes into your life and He lights up your life, you can see how you're supposed to live. You can see what you're doing wrong. You can see the pathway that God wants you to go on. The key to a better life and a better future is to turn on the light of Christ in your life. The way you turn it on is you seek the Lord, you read and you hear His Word, and you find out what God wants you to do. You trust in Christ and turn on that light of the world. Seek the Lord, let Him light the pathway. Jesus came in the world and told the world the way to Christ. The second thing we see in a world without Christ is people had no purpose. They had no purpose. Acts 14:16. I love this verse because it says, "In the past, He let all nations go their way." People are going their way today. In the New Testament time, society, government, even the religious sect only served themselves. They didn't care about anybody else. Everybody went their own way and did their own thing. We see that today in a big way. In the time when Christ was born, it was a divided world. Jews and Gentiles, slave and free, Greek and barbarian. People only cared about themselves. Now, if you were a slave in this time period, you only cared about survival. If you were a rich and wealthy person in this time period, you cared about pleasure and having fun. But a man with no purpose is a man with no direction and no future. When you have no purpose, when you're just driven by your own feelings and desires, you're driven by anger or greed or lust. And guess what? Jesus came to tell us that God made us for a better purpose. Ephesians 2:8. "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." You are not saved, and you don't receive salvation by being good enough. It is a gift from God. "Not by works, so that no one should boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared you in advance for you to do." Your purpose is to do the good works that God prepared you to do in advance. Before you were born, God prepared you for a purpose. If you're living here today and I read in my devotion in Open Windows today that if you're alive and you have a breath in you, you have a purpose. Now, you may be sad, you may be depressed, you may be hurting. Guess what? If you're alive, God has a purpose for you today. Doesn't matter if you went to seminary or you're skilled in anything, you have a purpose. We find our purpose in Christ Jesus. When Jesus saves us, when Jesus cleanses us from our sin, we can do God's good work. Now, understand this. Good works is more than just giving money to a charity. Good works is making Christ known. Making Christ known and transforming lives with God's Word and God's love. That is the work God wants you to do. People without God have no purpose. The third thing we see about people who live in darkness is people are powerless to save themselves. In the New Testament time, the world was a slave to the Roman Empire. They had to pay taxes. They had to obey Roman law. If you were walking down the street and a Roman centurion went by you carrying his pack, he could make you carry it for a mile. Just for fun. It was legal. They were slaves to Rome. That's why Joseph and Mary had to return to Bethlehem, because Rome commanded a census. But the true master of this world, the true master that we serve, is not this powerful nation. It is sin and selfishness. It is Satan and his will for our lives. We think we are in control of our lives, but we are not. If you are not moving closer to God today, that means you are moving further and further away from God. And the sad thing is that the world does not know that it has a problem. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. People living in a world without Christ is helpless and hopeless. Man has a big problem with sin, but God has a solution. It is Christ Jesus being born into this world. God became man. Romans 5:6, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. You know, Secret Service men are trained to die for the president. They're trained to throw themselves in front of a bullet. He is so important to the country that we cannot risk losing him. But would you die for a criminal? Would you die for someone who offends you and blasphemies you? That is what Jesus did for us. Even though we don't deserve it, even though we don't give him our worship and love him like we're supposed to, Christ died for you. At just the right time, Jesus came into the world and died for you. So let's go on to our second point, which is this. Jesus Christ is God's perfect gift. At Christmas time, the word you hear is gift. Everybody's worried about getting the right gift for people. So you make a gift list. You go shopping for gifts. You buy gifts. You wrap the gifts. Then you give the gift to somebody you love. And then they return that gift back to the store. Just that endless cycle is all about gifts. But what makes a gift perfect? Why is Jesus Christ the perfect gift? Well, the first thing, Jesus is the perfect gift because he is personal. Jesus Christ himself personally came into this world to die for your sins and for mine. You know, he was not delivered by UPS or FedEx. Jesus personally did this. Jesus Christ is a priceless gift. He is costly. His life he gave up was costly and expensive. You know, you don't want a gift from the dollar store, do you? My wife didn't like it when I bought her something from the dollar store. I'm sure you don't either. Or maybe, you know, what makes a gift priceless? Because it's so expensive? Or maybe the gift is priceless because you spent the time making it for somebody? I know we don't do it anymore, but this is a gift I gave everybody in my family about 20 years ago. It's a magazine rack. And it's made out of oak. You know, it's not easy getting those cross pieces to fit perfectly and then stuck into the side pieces. And I had the equipment to do this back then. But it's a magazine rack, and I made it. It took me 10, 15 hours for each one to be made. And, of course, now we don't read magazines. So now it is an iPad holder. That's what it's for. Jesus is a priceless gift because it cost God his only son. He died for you and me. He gave up everything. Jesus is priceless. Galatians 4:4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. That we, at just the right time, when we needed him the most, Jesus died for us. Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger so he could die on Calvary's cross. Jesus is the perfect gift. And we also see that Jesus is a practical gift, something we need. Now, how many of you have received useless gifts for Christmas? Useless gifts, you know, clothing that's too small. You know, my clients would give me liquor. You know, they'd give me, you know, whiskey or alcohol. And I'm like, well, I don't drink. You know, what am I supposed to do with this? I don't know how to cook with it either, so I'd just give it to Larry to drink. No. Jesus is exactly what we need. You know, inside every heart, there is a God-sized hole a human need that only God can be satisfied. We have a hole that is God's size. Only God can satisfy it. And that's why if we don't have God, we seek someone or something greater than us. We try to fill that hole with something like power or profit or pleasure, but only Jesus can fill the hole. But, you know, when you receive Christ as your Savior and Lord, when you open that gift to Christ, you receive many more gifts. And here's three gifts that we receive right off the bat. The first thing is we receive the gift of forgiveness. John the Baptist saw Jesus walking. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We are all sinners. That doesn't mean you're a criminal, but we're sinners. What does that mean? That in one way or another, we have sinned against God. Our sins will keep us from God for all eternity. So Jesus Christ was born into this world, lived a sinless life, so that He could pay your sin debt, so that He could forgive you of your sins. Acts 10:43, "All the prophets testify about Him that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name." When you accept the gift of Christ in your life, when you open that gift of Christ, Jesus forgives you of your past, your present, and your future sins. You don't have to live with guilt anymore. You don't have to live with shame anymore. Your sins are washed away. You have a fresh start with God. The second gift we receive is a gift of strength. When life is difficult, when life is hard to do, when it's hard to do what is right, Jesus gives us the power to live the way God wants us to live. Philippians 4:12, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." Paul is saying, you know, I've endured shipwrecks. I've been beaten to death. I've been flogged with the whip of 39 lashes. I've been treated badly. I've eaten well and I've been hungry. But in each case, he was content. He was joyful. He didn't break out and start cursing people or getting angry or blaming God, because God gave him strength. You know, when God gives you power, and this power comes through the gift of Christ, you can change your life. You can change your life for the better. Someone was telling me about problems of bad habits they're trying to break, and I said, God can help you if you open the gift of Christ. God can help you break a bad habit. God can help you build a better life and a better future. See, true strength is demonstrated when we trust in God and we discover contentment and peace and confidence and faith. The strength from God comes in many different ways, primarily through the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wisdom and inspiration. I love the Holy Spirit and wisdom and inspiration. When I'm trying to counsel people, I don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit gives me wisdom. Strength comes from God's Word and God's promises. Strength comes from fellow believers who walk alongside you and encourage you. I used to take that for granted until I went through my recent health scare, and I was scared and nervous. People came along and encouraged me and gave me strength. So we get the gift of forgiveness, we get the gift of strength, and then we get the gift of eternal life. You need more than positive thinking to survive this world. You need hope. You need hope for the future. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The wages of sin is death. If you have sinned, and the Bible says, "For all have sinned," you earned death. Not just physical death, but spiritual separation from God from all eternity. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God wants to give you eternal life, but you have to receive the gift. See, it's qualified. It doesn't say it's given to you. You have to receive it. This is the reason I became a Christian when I was a kid. I wanted eternal life. I wanted the hope of heaven. I believed in God. I believed in the salvation that God gives me through Jesus Christ. So I accepted the gift of God. I became a Christian. And when I became a Christian, I discovered that there's a lot more that God gives. It's not just one gift. It's not just forgiveness and strength. and eternal life. You get so much more. I read a story about have you ever received a gift within a gift? You know, you open the gift and you discover there's another gift inside. I read a story about a boy who received a pair of ski gloves, and inside each finger hole, the parents had rolled some money and put it in each finger hole. And he saw the gift and goes, "Oh, gloves, great." You know, threw it on the bed and ignored it. He didn't know it was there until he tried to use the glove and put his hand in it. That's a gift within a gift. If you don't open the gift of Jesus Christ in your life, you don't receive the rest of the gifts. When you accept the gift of Christ, you receive so much more. You receive the love of God that is so high and so wide and so deep, you cannot comprehend it. You receive the love of the people of God around you who encourage you and support you. You can see the joy, the blessings of life, the peace, and all that God gives us. We get a rich and rewarding life when we believe in Christ and we become like Christ our Lord. The question today is, have you accepted the gift of Christ? Do you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior? Point 3 in our outline says this: accept the gift of Christ by believing in Him. We accept the gift of Christ by believing in Him. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." Now, I'm not talking about the belief that I believe in Santa Claus. It's a belief that you believe and act on it accordingly. When you sit in a chair, you believe it will hold you up, and so you sit in it. And if it has any truth to it, it will hold you up. What does it mean to believe in Christ? It means I commit my life and will to Christ's care and control. Look at this picture here. Years ago, way back in the black and white days of life, things were black and white, there was a famous tightrope walker named Charles Blondin. And he, on Christmas Day, he walked across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. He ran back and forth and 20 times, and it was nothing for him. And then he's a real ham, and people were impressed. He gets a wheelbarrow, fills it with dirt, and he runs back and forth across it too. And the crowd's going wild, and they're just amazed. And on his last trip with the wheelbarrow, a man runs up to him and goes, "You're amazing. I believe you can do that 100 times. I believe in you." And so Charles Blondin dumped the dirt out of the wheelbarrow and says, "Get in. Get in. You really believe in me, get in." I don't know what he did. The story ends there. But see, that's what Jesus says to you today. Do you believe in me? Do you believe in the Christ of Christmas? Do you want to go to heaven? Well, you got to get in my arms. You got to put your faith in me. You got to get in that wheelbarrow and let Jesus Christ take you through this life into the next. Have you believed in Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus will take you all the way to heaven? You have to get in. You have to get into His arms, get into His Word, make that commitment, say, "Lord Jesus, I believe in you." Look at this prayer, the short prayer I wrote. "Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I commit my life and will to your care and your control. I want to follow you." People ask me, "What's my purpose?" I want to follow Jesus all the way to heaven. That's what I want to do. And I want to take as many of you with me as possible. But you have to believe. You're here today, and you don't know if you believe. You don't know if you're positive that you've trusted in Christ. You need to pray this prayer today as we go into our decision time. You need to say, "Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I'm going to walk with you all the way to heaven." And if you make that decision today, or if you finally come to the conclusion that this is where you're at, you've been thinking about it, you realize, "No, I have trusted in Jesus. Now's the time to get baptized. Follow the Lord in water baptism as a sign of your commitment to Him today." Let's pray. Father, we come to you today because we believe in you. We've heard the story. We know the story that you came to this world and were born into this world, a baby. You lived a sinless life, and then you taught us how to live, and then you died on the cross for our sins. You rose and ascended to heaven. Father, I just pray if someone's here today that is not sure if they're Christian or not, if they've made this decision, if they're not sure about forgiveness of sin and eternal life, they will believe in you today and put their faith in you. Father, I just pray that you touch that soul today that needs to know you, that they'll say yes to Jesus. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that we will be committed to share this gift of Christ with the people we love, the people we work with, the people we go to school with. I pray that we'll encourage people to know and worship you. So bless our decision now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're ready to make a decision for Christ, I'm going to be standing down here as we sing our song. Come forward and let's pray. Please stand as we sing.